Scripture reading is Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "See, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Second reading is Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Pray with me before we listen to God's message for us this morning. Merciful God, it is a beautiful day, and we thank you so much for this opportunity to celebrate the risen Christ, your Son. Thank you for the opportunity to lift up our voices in worship and praise. Thank you for the forgiveness we again received this morning. Thank you for your word that is so powerful and relevant to this day and to this moment. I pray that you will certainly speak to all of us, God, and that if there's anything that might hinder us from hearing and accepting your word, that your Spirit will remove that from us in this moment. We have come to listen to you, and so we invite you to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So again, I just want to say happy Easter, everybody. And how many of you are having any family over today? Really? Just Vic? Is that possible? typically, you know, when families gather, there's conversation and there's fun. And some laughter, hopefully not any political, you know, differences around the dinner table. But there's something that's of prime importance, and that is great food, right? That is one of the best things about family gatherings. Now, Annalise and I and the kids, before my son became a vegan, you know, we typically would roast a leg of lamb, you know, for Easter, and with some mint jelly and some other side dishes. But in our mobile society, it's harder for families to get together these days because of the large distances. And so this year my daughter will not be with us. She will be with the boyfriend's family. And so we will, of course, miss her, you know, miss her very much. In any case, I'm delighted to see that many of you will be joining together with family members today. But I'm also delighted to see you joining together with the body of Christ on this very special day. So for the last 6 weeks, you know, we've been discussing how much God loves us by reaching out to us, not only through our ears and with His Word, but also through our other physical senses like smelling and seeing and tasting and feeling. And so we have touched ashes as a reminder of the fact that we are mortal beings and also that we are in need of repentance. We have tasted salt. Salt that sweetens and salt that preserves, because Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. We have felt water and dipped our hands into the baptism font as we reminded ourselves that Jesus is the living water, and whoever drinks from Him will never be spiritually thirsty again. We have seen light as we lit candles and celebrated that Jesus is the light of the world, in whom there is no darkness, and that we are called to shine our light in the world. We gathered around the communion table and ate bread together that represents the living bread, Jesus, whose body was broken for the forgiveness of our sins. We waved palm branches like the saints in heaven, clothed in white robes, because Jesus has won an eternal victory over sin and death for us. And on Friday evening, we encountered the old, rugged, wooden cross on which Jesus died as a sacrifice for the world. And you all went home with a little wooden cross as a reminder. So today, the focus is on milk and honey. And I wish I could have you taste it and drink it, but I just didn't know how to make that possible, you know, today. So you're not going to be able to taste the milk and the honey today. But why milk and honey on Easter Sunday? When Israel, during their travels through the desert, longed for the food of the promised land, it was called the land of milk and honey. And we, of course, still use the term today. It means a place where there's plenty of food and money and life is, you know, just very easy. And many immigrants believe that America is a land of milk and honey. Families in the Bible often gathered for high feasts like Passover and Pentecost. And thousands of years later, those of us who believe continue to celebrate spiritual feasts like Christmas and Easter and Pentecost. And today, this feast of feasts that we celebrate is a celebration of Jesus conquering sin and death and hell and grave, the grave, by His glorious resurrection from the dead. And through all of that, He promises you the ultimate prize. And that is an eternal inheritance of heaven. The Apostle Peter even calls it a new heaven and a new earth. He says, "But God promised us a new heaven and a new earth where justice will rule." And we're really looking forward to this. So in the early church, Easter Day was the first time that newly baptized and instructed Christians ate and drank the Lord's Supper. And when new Christians were formally welcomed into the church, they were greeted, given a holy kiss, and were congratulated for being released from the slavery of sin to be free children of God. However, right before their first communion, when they received the elements representing the body and blood of Jesus, they were first given a cup of water mixed with milk and honey. And this reminded them that whenever you partake of the Lord's Supper, you're also partaking in an eternal feast of the promised land of heaven. And so listen, being here today is a big deal. Being together in worship is a really big deal on Easter. Do you remember Jesus' parable of the prodigal son? It's one of the most beautiful stories, moving stories in the Bible. About this young man who wanted his inheritance early, which was really an insult to his father. And then he left his family to go live the high life, and he wasted away all of that money. And so when he hit rock bottom, he kind of came to his senses and he decided to come back to his father and beg for his forgiveness. But when he saw him, his waiting father didn't even raise the issue of him leaving the family and squandering his inheritance. He was waiting and waiting for him and looking for his return every day. And he simply welcomed him back with open arms. And then he prepared a feast for the whole family. So you see, when someone is welcomed into God's household of faith, it is really a family reunion and a time of feasting. That's what the prophet Isaiah recalls in our Old Testament reading for today. A family reunion. He says, on this mountain, the Lord All-Powerful will prepare for all nations a feast of the finest foods, choice wines, and the best meats will be served. He's talking about the eternal feast of heaven, in which all of God's people will partake someday. Now, do you know why you are invited to this glorious banquet today, to this celebration? It is because someone opened the door for you. Jesus Christ, your crucified Lord, who's not dead but is risen and victorious, he personally opened this door for you. Isaiah says about this reunion feast of all God's people, here the Lord will strip away the burial clothes that cover the nation. So Jesus has once and for all destroyed the shadow of doom hanging over all people, the shadow that is darkening all nations. Jesus has banished death forever. He has swallowed up and eaten death forever by rising from the dead. And that's what we are celebrating today. And so when we talk about the land of milk and honey, when we talk about heaven, I realize that it's something that still awaits you and me, obviously. But heaven is never so far away that we cannot taste it already. When someone confesses that they believe in Jesus Christ, they have already crossed over from death to life. These are the words of Jesus. I say emphatically that anyone who listens to my message and believes in God who sent me has eternal life and will never be damned for his sins, but has already passed out of death into life. When the Israelites, way back then, crossed the Red Sea, they were set free from death and slavery in Egypt. And then when they crossed over the Jordan River, they entered the promised land of milk and honey. And you have crossed over from the river of death into life. You have stepped out of your world and you have entered God's world. It does not mean that you don't have your share of death, that you don't experience pain and don't struggle with sin. Because we all have our trials to endure. We all have our anxieties to live with. This here is not heaven. This here is not your promised land. Heaven is your promised land. That's where it's perfect and peaceful. And that's where the feast never ends. However, until we enter those eternal halls, we must live with the frailties of age and illness and death. And we have to live with broken and strained relationships, or grieving a loved one who is not with us anymore, or with job loss or financial hardship, or with daily worries about our family and our parents and our children. Many of our troubles that we encounter in life remain out of our control. And so as a result, we often long for rest and a break from the hardships of life. When God told Moses that he would lead God's people out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land of milk and honey, the people of Israel could not wait to enter it. However, soon they were sinful and rebellious. And many blamed both God and Moses for their troubles. Until they entered the promised land, they did not like living in tents and moving whenever God told them to move. They were tired of the same food. They longed for clean water and they wanted more variety. And so they grumbled and they complained and they said, "Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt only to die here in the desert?" And they were so angry that they were ready to stone Moses and tell God that life was better back in Egypt where they were slaves. And so listen, sometimes life feels long. It can be very frustrating. And we grow impatient, right? We say, "Where can I find rest from this problem? Where can I find the strength to just move forward? Is this ever going to end? I deserve more out of life than what God provided." It's at those times when you need God's sweet milk and honey. When you need the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Because only He can feed your hungry soul in the wilderness. And this journey through life, I mean, it's not easy. And it's a struggle that will continue until the day you die or until the Lord comes again, whatever happens first. But while we await the promised land of heaven, God promises to feed you every time you receive His word and the sacraments. And every time you come together with believers in worship and experience the fellowship of God's family. And so family gatherings will end. They're great, but they end. So please enjoy the time you have with one another. But they never last, you know. Parents go back to their own homes or children go back to college. But God's kingdom is eternal, and our ultimate victory is won. And God offers you something to eat that is better than anything the world offers. Because here you taste the fruit of the promised land, milk and honey. Eat from heaven's feast now. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Your risen Lord gives you his life-giving word and feeds your hungry soul with his body and his blood. So yes, go enjoy your Easter dinner with friends and family later, but remember, nothing beats the feast of the promised land. This celebration that gives you the foretaste of heaven itself. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we are grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice on the cross, him giving his life so that we can have new life and forgiveness. But thank you that he didn't stay in the grave, that he conquered death and completed your ultimate plan, and that is to restore us and our relationship with you completely. So by faith in your Son, Jesus, we are forgiven. And our eternal destination is secured. A land of milk and honey. A place that lasts forever. And we praise you and we thank you for that this morning. In his precious name. Amen.